mind is something that, you know, hopefully, inshallah, Allah willing, is something that will continue through the rest of the year, inshallah. Now, we had said that the fundamental foundation and this fundamental pillar, if you will, of our spiritual building that we are constructing in the holy month of Ramadan is our intention and our niyyah. And after that, we said that, you know, some of the things that are added on are, of course, the fasting from food and drink and the other jurisprudentially forbidden things that can break our fast. Now, the level up from that, of course, with these two things, the blessings of the holy month of Ramadan are such that our mind and our body start to detoxify. In order to reform the mind, we kind of have to plug ourselves off from the various different, you know, social media or television or internet or movies or music or these kind of other, you know, inputs that are harmful for us and have a role in constructing the mind. We have to plug ourselves off from those things, at least in the holy month of Ramadan, limit our usage of these kind of devices so that slowly but surely, you know, with the recitation of the Holy Quran and contemplation over it and the recitation of du'as and, of course, the prayers, slowly but surely we will be able to reform our mind in this holy month of Ramadan. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parsetoday.ir/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
You lift me up high, you spread my wings and fly me to the sky. So alive, it's like my soul thrives in your light. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Zionist regime is building infrastructure to carve up Gaza, prevent the return of displaced Palestinians, and change the geographical and demographic facts on the ground. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please.
Thank you.
Middle East Eye wrote, Netanyahu's threats to storm Rafah and the Philadelphia corridor are likely a negotiation tactic to pressure and blackmail resistance groups and Egypt. Nonetheless, Israeli analysts insist that the Zionist regime's real strategic interests lie in northern Gaza and that a confrontation with Egypt may trigger a strategic dilemma. What this means is that there is no option for considering a comprehensive resolution to the war, but only for partial and temporary deals after which the war will continue, and where the Zionist regime does not withdraw and the displaced families do not return. At best, any discussion about the return of displaced people in Gaza will be insignificant and will not result in their actual return. In fact, before any ceasefire, the Zionist regime will have completed its system of control and cemented its colonial presence in Gaza. In other words, the Zionist regime is not carrying out a military campaign that will end with the end of this war. Palestinians and Arabs are too focused on negotiations or ceasefire talks and the Zionist regime's obstruction tactics. This results in a round-the-clock rush after details that constitute a series of distractions, while the Zionist regime's actions on the ground clearly reveal a return to its total occupation of Gaza and destruction as a single geographical unit for its people. The international community's fixation on humanitarian aid, while ignoring Israel's long-term plans, will further result in Palestinians' indefinite displacement. Another issue pertains to the floating dock proposal, which the White House claims will be used to deliver 2 million meals a day to Gaza. According to this plan, the Zionist regime is to take control of the security of the makeshift port in partnership with the U.S. military, which is not to enter Gaza. Yet, Netanyahu has recently stated that this dock could help deport Palestinians from Gaza and through which Israel may carry out their mass expulsion. It is also worth mentioning that the wide road that the Zionist regime army is building from the southeast of Gaza City to the sea is geographically consistent with the proposal made by the Zionist regime foreign minister Israel Katz to EU leaders regarding the forced displacement of Palestinians to an artificial island. Moreover, the constant focus on northern Gaza as its own region suggests an international recognition that northern Gaza has become separated from the south. By establishing separate aid distribution structures for the north and south to be managed by the Zionist regime, the international community is ensuring Israel's continued presence and occupation of Gaza. It also means American humanitarian aid may become an extension of the Israeli occupation and its mechanisms of control over Gaza. This project was formed against the backdrop of supporters of Netanyahu government preventing the entry of aid into Gaza through Karam Abu Salem border crossing. Additionally, the political discourse within the Palestinian factions is unrealistic and treats the situation as if conditions were the same as those before October 7th and have not drastically changed. They claim that Palestinians must simply overcome their divisions, even as the Gaza Valley has become a border restricting the movement of Palestinians in Gaza, akin to the apartheid wall in the West Bank. The apartheid wall has drastically changed the political and geographic features of the population in the West Bank. It was constructed on the ruins of the Palestinian urban presence and a population that was forcibly displaced and blocked from the ever-returning. in carrying out its plans in Gaza, particularly in the north. The fabricated regime of Israel is securing its lasting occupation of Gaza. Palestinians and Arabs, as well as the international community, should focus their attention on the drastic changes to the geographic and demographic facts on the ground. There needs to be direct Arab pressure on the United States regime to force the Israeli regime to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza through its land borders and not succumb to Israeli government's conditions, as Gaza remains a Palestinian, not an Israeli, area. They must further take a firm stance and launch a massive campaign to pressure the Biden administration to stop supplying the Zionist regime with military aid and weapons used to eradicate all elements of basic life in Gaza, while providing inadequate humanitarian assistance, which in fact lacks any humanity. Such outside pressure is necessary, as the Netanyahu government and the opposition alike are blocking all the steps toward a political solution. Meanwhile, as they solidify their occupation in Gaza, they are systematically starving the Palestinian population and committing grave acts that amounts to war crimes and deadly acts of genocide, the consequences of which may be more dire than the daily bombings of the city and its people.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
In late 2023, South Africa filed a case at the International Court of Justice, ICJ, over the Israeli apartheid regime's genocidal war against Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. South Africa stated that the Tel Aviv regime has failed to uphold its commitments under the 1948 Genocide Convention. South Africa filed a lawsuit against the Israeli regime at the end of December, noting that Israel's actions in Gaza that started last October are genocidal in character because they are intended to bring about the destruction of a substantial part of the Palestinian national, racial, and ethnic group. Now, the UN Court, in its interim ruling on January the 26th, stated that South Africa's claims are plausible. The court ordered provisional measures that the Israeli regime must implement to prevent genocidal acts and allow humanitarian flow into the Gaza Strip. The Israeli regime has ignored this ruling and continues with its US-backed genocidal war against Palestinians. South Africa has been one of the outspoken critics of the Israeli regime's genocidal war against Palestinians and has led some initiatives to hold this regime accountable for its actions in Gaza. So what are the main factors behind South Africa's long-standing solidarity with Palestine?
South Africa ICJ case against Israel.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and welcome to Africa Today. And this week, we are discussing the ongoing South Africa's genocide case against the Israeli regime at the International Court of Justice, ICJ. Now, the case has drawn the admiration of all freedom seekers worldwide. We have a special guest to discuss the topic today. He's none other than South African Ambassador to Iran, His Excellency Dr. Francis Moloi. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador, for your time today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Mubarak. It's a pleasure to be here.
As we know, many freedom seekers worldwide and people who love peace, they have welcomed South Africa's case against the Israeli apartheid regime at the ICC over its genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza. Now, first, can you tell us what was the motivation or the factors behind South Africa's move to initiate this very historical case?
Well, the people of Palestine have been under occupation for over 75 years. Yeah. And they have not enjoyed the rights and freedoms that we as the world community have proclaimed on, particularly after the Second World War.
Yeah.
they have been on the receiving end of Israeli brutality, Israeli violence, violation of human rights and freedoms, denial of rights. And that situation of the Nakba has been continuing since 1948. But what we saw since October last year is unprecedented in recent memory. And when we looked at the totality of what the apartheid government in Israel has done, for us it is a very clear, straightforward, open and shut textbook case of genocide. Because what has happened in Gaza flows directly from the genocidal instructions, genocidal statements that were uttered by the top state functionaries in Israel. And those instructions and statements were carried to the letter by the IDF. And when we look at everything that has happened, every single one of those violations that have been committed fit very neatly the provisions of Article 2 of the Genocide Convention. It is clear that these actions by the Israeli Defense Force are aimed at killing the members of the group, which are the Palestinians, to cause them immense bodily and mental harm. Everything has been done to ensure the total destruction of Palestinian lives. Everything has been done to prevent the births in the Palestinian community. And if you look at that for us, that is a textbook definition of what a genocide is. But why did we decide to go to the ICJ and not any other court? Because, first of all, the ICJ is the only tribunal in the system of international law that has jurisdiction to decide disputes over genocide. South Africa, as a signatory to the Genocide Convention, like Israel and all other countries, we all have an obligation, a binding obligation under the Genocide Convention to prevent the crime of genocide and to punish it. The other very important consideration that we took into account was that Israel itself is a signatory to the Genocide Convention, and by its signature, it has consented to the jurisdiction of the ICJ over the disputes related to to the crime of genocide. And we as South Africa, by virtue of the fact that we also have an obligation under the Genocide Convention to prevent that crime, we do not need to be a party to the current conflict that's going in there. So we have what lawyers call locus standi in the ICJ, and therefore that gives us that opportunity or that privilege to present this case on behalf of the Palestinians in the ICJ.
And by the way, you know, we remember that after the Rwanda genocide, the world said never again, and it's happening again, unfortunately. So in its ruling, the ICJ issued interim orders that the Israeli regime must take measures to prevent genocide. But I think the regime is intent on continuing its genocidal war backed by the U.S. And, we have seen what is happening in Rafah. So what's your take on this? I mean, it's total impunity on the part of the Israeli regime.
That has been our experience with the apartheid government in Israel for a very long time. They have acted completely with impunity, and they have enjoyed political, diplomatic support and cover from their some of their partners in the West. And that has been quite unfortunate. Now, these provisional measures that the court has ordered, and we must be very clear, those provisional measures are binding on Israel, and they are binding on all of us.
Yeah.
As far as our obligations to prevent genocide are concerned. So the fact that the court has ordered these measures, there is also a corresponding obligation on all of us to ensure that Israel complies with these orders. For instance, it was really disappointing to see, particularly after the provisional measures were ordered, to see Israel's partners continuing to support Israel through provision of arms, and taking actions like withdrawing funding from UNRWA.
Yeah.
The consequence of which is that it will perpetuate the genocidal decision on the part of Israel to starve the people of Gaza of food, medicines, and other essentials.
Mm-hmm.
So Israel is under an obligation to comply with these measures.
Yeah.
And the rest of us must ensure that Israel complies with this, and that we do not take actions that will continue to perpetuate the genocide that is unfolding in Gaza.
Members of the U.S. Congress have called for, you know, like a review of South Africa-U.S. ties because of your country's stance at the ICC. And, you know, South Africa is resisting and has that resolve to move on. So what do you view all these threats? Have you received other, you know, like threats to downgrade ties or, you know, to pressurize you to withdraw from your support for Palestine?
Yes, we have seen, and you are referring to the United States, we have seen pieces of legislation that have been proposed in this context, as you say, to review our bilateral relations with the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know exactly what that means, but the U.S.'s own internal legislative processes, those are processes over which we have no control whatsoever. But what I will say, Mubarak, is this, that our decision to take this route is informed by the principles, the norms, the values, the standards that underpin our engagement with the world.
Yeah.
At a multilateral level, at a bilateral level.
Yeah.
And we, in our foreign policy, we are very clear. We are informed by principles such as respect for human life, multilateralism, the desire to have international relations governed by pre-agreed rules, as opposed to international relations being governed by a brute military and economic and political power.
Yeah.
We believe in a system of international relations that respects the rule of international law, that seeks to resolve pressing political conflicts through peaceful means.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to, in order to ensure that we can live by these principles, we want to ensure that those institutions of global governance, like the United Nations, and those instruments of international legal systems, like the human rights legal systems, international humanitarian law, and all this, that we can use this and rely on this to address the problems that we face in the world. And our approach through the ICJ is simply our desire to work within an agreed framework also.
Mm-hmm.
So if other countries think that we shouldn't be doing that, or that if we pursue that that route, we need to be punished, well, it is something that over which we have no control. But what we know that we are fortified in our approach.
Yeah.
It's a principled approach that
we
are taking.
Impressive.
And this is the correct way of approaching it.
Now, and this brings in the issue of double standards, you know, within the international system. You know, like during this conflict, Ukraine-Russia conflict, we've seen the ICC has issued, you know, arrest warrants or summons against Russian President Vladimir Putin. But within 3 or 4 months, yeah, the Israeli regime has killed 30,000 Palestinians, most of them women and children. And no warrant of arrest has been issued against the Israeli regime's Prime Minister Netanyahu. What's your take on these double standards?
Mubarak, my brother, you use the term double standards, and yeah. You are absolutely right to characterize how some of these international rules have been applied. And that is unfortunate because we cannot have a system of international law that applies or uses different rules and criteria for some and a different set of rules for the other.
Yeah.
That will simply breed contempt for the rules of international law. That
Indeed.
Will only bring this global system of rules into disrepute.
Yeah.
And it doesn't augur well for the global community going forward.
Yeah.
So it is regrettable that some of these institutions of global governance, and you have referred to the ICC, that in the case of President Putin and now in the case of Prime Minister Netanyahu and some of the leaders of the apartheid regime in Israel, different set of rules are being applied.
Exactly.
And that is unacceptable. We must have a system of international law that applies to all, because international law must be applied without fear, favor, or prejudice, equally so. And that way you can inspire confidence in these rules.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we continue to operate on the basis of these double standards, we will not do any good to the international system as a whole.
Yeah. So, Mr. Ambassador, we'll take a short break before we continue. Viewers, we'll take a short break before we continue our discussion on South Africa's case against the Israeli apartheid regime at the International Court of Justice. Stay with us. Welcome back to Africa Today. And this week, we are discussing the ongoing South Africa's genocide case against the Israeli apartheid regime at the International Court of Justice. Welcome back, Mr. Ambassador. Now, Israeli regime officials have accused South Africa of working closely with the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, and even say that South Africa is the legal arm of Hamas. What's your take on these claims?
We heard that, and that was one of the first accusations that Israel made when we took the case up to the ICJ.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that is in the strategy of the Israeli government.
Mm-hmm.
Those that it doesn't agree with, it will always label them. In our case now, we have been labeled as the legal arm of Hamas.
Yeah.
We have been labeled anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, and all this. And this is a strategy that they use to delegitimize, to pour scorn over the principled course of action that that we have we have taken. And these insults, really, and these labels are usually the refuge of someone who does not have a case.
Yeah.
And therefore, these don't mean anything to us indeed. And I imagine that we are being labeled the legal arm of Hamas because in the eyes of Israel, Hamas is a terrorist organization, so it is regarded. But we do not regard Hamas as a terrorist organization.
Indeed.
And we find those labels and comments to be utterly preposterous.
Now, Mr. Ambassador, South Africa has also been at the forefront of rejecting attempts by the Israeli apartheid regime to infiltrate the African Union. And the last attempt, two Israeli regime's officials were actually ejected from an AU summit in Addis Ababa. Can we now consider, following this genocide in Gaza, can we now consider that that case is closed and the regime will no longer be considered even for being an observer member of the African Union?
The issue of Israel as an observer in the AU is an issue that our leaders still needed to discuss at the summit level. However, from South Africa's point of view, we are very clear. We will oppose any decision, any application that seeks to admit Israel as an observer in the AU. And the events since October last year, the genocide that Israel has carried out against the people of Palestine is in fact another solid reason why Israel's attempts to be an observer in the AU ought to be rejected.
Now, we have seen many countries have expressed support to South Africa's case against the Israeli regime at the ICJ. Now, how will this impact on South Africa in terms of global geopolitics?
Well, yes, we have many countries have expressed support for South Africa going forward, which we appreciate, of course, and which I think the people of Palestine appreciate. As to how this will impact on geopolitics, I guess this the jury is still out there.
It's unfolding.
Exactly. But for us, we have this case to prosecute, we think we have made a very strong case going forward. We have now passed the provisional measures, and we are glad that at the end of the submissions that we made on the 11th of January, when other countries had labeled our course of action as meritless, as baseless, as without any basis whatsoever, the ICJ agreed with us by and large. And we ought now to be moving into the merits stage. And for us, that is what we are focusing on. What are the implications and the broader geopolitics of that would be? We leave that to others to deal with.
And now, and even the fact that many state and non-state actors are supporting South Africa's bid, do you think there will be changes in the international system of justice, that there'll be more focus, people will have some hope on this international court of justice and even the ICC? Are we going to see an evolution towards more trust to these institutions?
From where I'm sitting, Mubarak, my brother, I think that this case has awakened the conscience of ordinary people on Main Street. And these protests that we have seen across the world, from Cape Town to London, from Washington, D.C. to Sydney, Ramallah, to all over, the ordinary people on the ground, through their various formations of civil society, have taken this issue upon their shoulders, and they are putting pressure on their governments to do something about the genocide in Gaza. The ceasefire now, the calls for the ceasefire, the calls for humanitarian aid, and the calls for holding the apartheid government in accountable. Israel accountable. All this is important, and it's a positive development, because ordinary people on Main Street now realize that these commitments to international law, international principles ought to be implemented. And I think if anything that will come out of this, it is that positive reawakening of the people on the ground.
Now, Mr. Ambassador, BRICS recently expanded to include more countries, including Iran. And it's emerging as a major force globally. What do you think, what role can BRICS play in resolving global conflicts like the current genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza?
Well, BRICS is a grouping of mostly developing countries from the south. And we have common objectives of pulling together our resources to develop our countries, our economies, to develop our people, and to foster greater cooperation and collaboration amongst ourselves. And therefore, Our cooperation is in many fields of economy, of politics, of culture, science and technology, and so on and so forth. And we also seek to, you know, adopt common approaches at resolving or addressing questions such as the conflict in Gaza. So BRICS becomes one of the important formations of the countries of the South to deal with all these challenges that we face today.
Mr. Ambassador, South Africa has been at the forefront, you know, of resolving the Palestinian issue. And there have been so many proposals, there have been talks and negotiations that have failed because the Israeli apartheid regime has failed, you know, to implement its commitments. And there is now this proposal, for example. Iran is proposing that one of the ways of, actually one of the main ways of resolving the Palestinian conflict is through having a referendum that will involve all original inhabitants of Palestine, be they Jews, Christians, or Muslims, and even a referendum that will involve all Palestinian refugees who are scattered across the globe. Do you think this is a good solution? What's your take on this proposal to use a referendum to resolve the Palestinian issue?
Yes, so many proposals have been made about how to resolve the question of Palestine.
Yeah.
And we respect the sovereign position that the Islamic Republic of Iran has taken.
Yeah.
And, we cannot contend, we cannot argue with that. It's a sovereign position of the Islamic Republic. But the important thing is that that proposal is also aimed at finding a durable, lasting peace for the people of Palestine. And we acknowledge and we appreciate and we endorse the principled support that Iran has provided to the people of Palestine. And it is part and parcel of that global effort to find accommodation and a solution to this.
Mr. Ambassador, our last question. The South African Parliament took a very decisive decision for, you know, recalling or the cutting of ties with the Israeli regime and the ejection of the Israeli ambassador from South Africa. And we've seen South Africans have also come out massively, you know, to express support to Palestinians. Can you tell us more about this, the reason why South Africans are also, the people of South Africa, have come out, you know, to express their support to Palestinians?
Yeah, first of all, yes, as South Africa, we support fully the struggle of the people of Palestine and the people of South Africa on Main Street supported that. However, I will say that, yes, it is true. We have recalled our ambassador from Tel Aviv since, I think, 2018.
Yeah.
We have recalled all our diplomatic staff in Tel Aviv, and we have also closed our embassy there. And it's not that we have cut diplomatic ties, ties as such, but we have just closed our embassy in Tel Aviv, and it was a very clear decision on our parliament, which was also followed by the executive decision, that one of the reasons why we decided to close that was to ensure that we could force in one way or another the issue of the ceasefire. But if I may just say pretty briefly that, South Africa, we are the beneficiary of one of the most coordinated, solid international solidarity movements since the Second World War, the anti-apartheid movement.
Yeah.
And we think today there is a need to revive that spirit of that solidarity. Global anti-apartheid movement in solidarity with the people of Palestine.
Yeah.
And we need to be looking at what measures we can take to put pressure on Israel. And if it means severing diplomatic ties, imposing an arms embargo, boycotts, isolation of the apartheid regime there, these are all peaceful measures that we can take. They have worked in the case of South Africa, and they can work in the case of Israel.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Francis Moloi, for your time today at Africa Today.
Thank you, Mubarak. It was a pleasure indeed to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
And that brings us to the end of this week's edition of Africa Today. It's always great having you. Goodbye for now.
اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها المزمل قم الليل الا قليلا نصفه
او انقص منه قليلا او زد عليه ورتل القران ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقراني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك ارجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا احسان. ودعوتك ربي بقراني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Ramadan Kareem, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem in the holy month of Ramadan. It's really, really emphasized, and it's also very valuable, okay, to recite the Quran Kareem more than before in the holy month of Ramadan. Yes, we really welcome you all, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, to our Quranic session. Inshallah, we will talk about Ayah 63 and 64. Two verses from Surah Al-A'raf on page 158. So, brothers and sisters, hope you have your Quran with you. Please turn to page 158. Hassan, what ayah? Two verses from this surah.
63 and 64.
63 and 64, Surah Al-A'raf. So, what about listening to a recitation from this ayah once? Huh? Yes? Agree?
Yes.
Let's go and listen to a recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَن جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنكُمْ لِيُنذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ وَأَغْرَقْنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا عَمِينَ.
That was nice recitation, mashallah. Now, we will read it. These two verses we will read once, and one of our brothers here will, of course, recite the ayah. Then we will talk about the tajweed points, the tafsir points. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ayah 63. أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَن جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنكُمْ لِيُنذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Do you consider it odd that a reminder, it means, did it surprise you? Okay, kind of, you're surprised with this? I mean, you're questioning yourself, how? That a reminder from your Lord should come to you through a man from among yourselves to warn you so that you may be God-wary, and so that you may receive his mercy. In the next ayah, Allah says, فَكَذَّبُوهُ, but they denied him. The people of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, seeing that Nuh alayhi salam is embracing the religion of God, inviting people to
God.
To worship God. So, قال الملأ. Yes, in the previous verse we had that the elite of his people said, indeed, we see you in a manifest error. So they blamed Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. They stopped Prophet Nuh alayhi salam from preaching. Over 950 years Prophet Nuh alayhi salam lived, and 950 years he invited his people to accept. Now in this ayah we learn what happened to his people when most of them did not accept. So let's see. Then Allah says, فَكَذَّبُوهُ, but they denied Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ. You've heard the story of the ship, yes? The ship of the Prophet Nuh. Ship, yes?
Yeah.
سَفِينَةُ Nuh. So, والفلك. Those people who had accepted the invitation and they were the followers of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, they were saved with Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ, we delivered, we rescued Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ, and those who were with him in the ark. Alright?
Yes.
The animals also. وَأَغْرَقْنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and we drowned those who denied our signs. All those who denied our signs. You know, Ulul Azm prophets are one of the qualities of Ulul Azm, or one of the differences of prophets who are Ulul Azm and prophets who are not Ulul Azm is this, that Ulul Azm prophets are sent to all the people at that time. For example, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was sent to
all
the people, because all the people were the people of him.
Yes.
The people who were living on the earth, they were all the people of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Alright? In his territory they were living.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
ربي قد نلت منايا وبختم كتابك أرقى وبختم كتابك أرقى.
So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet who is sent for the whole humanity, for the human and jinn. So he is Ulul Azm. So now, وَأَغْرَقْنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, we drowned those who denied our signs. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا عَمِينَ, indeed they were a blind lot of people. So guys, refer to the Tafsir books inshallah for more information. That's a lot we talked. Some tajweed points very briefly. أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ, in that ayah. أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ.
إِخْفَى.
أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ. جَاءَكُمْ, is that wajib mad or jaiz mad? جَاءَكُمْ.
I think it's wajib.
Yeah, it's wajib because the word jaa, alif and hamza are in the same word. Jaa yajiu. Jaa. So.
And also we have qalqala on the first.
Awa ajibatum, you mean?
Yeah.
MashaAllah. Awa ajibatum. Ajib, jibatum. Echo the sound. Dhikrun min rabbikum ala rajulin minkum. Hussein, read this too. Dhikrun min rabbikum ala rajulin minkum.
Dhikrun min rabbikum ala rajulin minkum.
Ahsan. Dhikrun min. Dhikrun min. Min rabbikum. How do you read it?
Min rabbikum.
Min rabbikum. Dhikrun min. Dhikrun min rabbikum ala rajulin minkum. Liyunzirakum. إخفاء hide the sound.
Yes.
وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Very simple. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ. Again.
إخفاء.
You hide the sound. How do you read it, Ali Nasir?
فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ.
أحسن. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ وَأَغْرَقْنَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. جيم. There is a جيم. حسن, what does that جيم say?
It says that it's optional to stop or to continue.
Better to say you are allowed to make a pause.
Yes.
You are
allowed.
Allowed to make. Normally, you got to read from the beginning of that till the end. But
yes,
when you reach at this point, you are allowed to make a pause.
Yes.
إنهم كانوا قوما عمين. There is no other point. So just let's recite these two verses once. I will do the recitation and you brothers will repeat. Brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, please listen and repeat. Join us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أوعجبتم أن جاءكم ذكر من ربكم على رجل منكم لينذركم.
أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ لِيُنْذِرَكُمْ.
أحسن أحسن. لِيُنْذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
لِيُنذِرَكُمْ وَلِتَتَّقُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ
فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ
والذين معه في الفلك وأغرقنا الذين كذبوا بآياتنا.
والذين معه في الفلك وأغرقنا الذين كذبوا بآياتنا.
إنهم كانوا قوما عمين.
إنهم كانوا قوما عمين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with us till the end of this session. That's all from us for today. Ramadan Kareem. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. Brothers Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, thanks for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. See you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines this hour. Scores more Palestinians are killed in Israel's indiscriminate strikes across Gaza, as the total death toll from the regime's genocidal war tops 32,700. Lebanese Prime Minister Najib Mikati denounces an Israeli raid which targeted a car carrying UN peacekeeping forces in southern Lebanon, leaving at least four people injured. Thousands of protesters rally in central London to slam Israel's ongoing massacre of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, calling for a ceasefire there.